Father, you are incredible. Jesus, you are incredible. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you've even given me the opportunity to know God. And I just ask that you would bless the listener and myself included, as I've been blessed just even meditating on this, that we would really grow in our intimacy and our affections towards you, Jesus, and that we as the listeners and we as those that are partakers of your word would not just hear the word and just be excited, but it would help us move closer and to loving you more affectionately and to knowing you more deeply, God. Jesus, please, that is the desire of my heart that anyone listening, that they would be moved somehow to care more about your heart and your desire. And I can't do that. Holy Spirit, I need you to do that. Jesus, please have that work. Father, have that work be done. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is going to be based off of John chapter 17, where I would just like to really briefly examine 8 prayer requests that Jesus has towards the Father. And this is so important. I believe that Jesus, who is fully man, fully God, is praying for the very things he hopes to see as a result of his upcoming torture and death. He is about to go through an experience he's never experienced. He is about to go through agony that he's never felt. And it's almost as if when I read John 17 of, you know what, God, I am hoping, I am praying that this is what will come. Because the prayers that Jesus is asking cannot happen unless Jesus goes forth and does what he does. And John 18 going forward, it cannot happen unless he goes through that lashing and that whipping and that being left alone and just the betrayal and all of that. He cannot have these things happen unless Jesus goes to the cross. And so I believe this is him saying, Lord, let this be. Father, please let these things occur as a result of my death. And I believe that these prayer requests are near and dear to his heart right now. Right now, that these are current desires that our Lord has. And I think that if we really desire to know him better and deeper, myself included, I want to really be thinking about these things because they're important to him right now. So let's jump in. The first prayer request that Jesus has is that the Father would glorify his name, that the Father would give him the highest glory. In John 17, 1, it says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. And now, this is verse 5, O Father, glorify thou me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Wow. That's in Isaiah. God says, I will not share my glory with another. How dare Jesus ask the Father to give him the same glory he has? Unless, of course, he is God. This is an amazing verse to share with somebody who, again, says Jesus never claimed that he was God or never. You know, we put that, we're making that up. This is clear, direct. Jesus is asking for the same glory that God has, and he can do that. And the practical application for me when reading this was, you know, if Jesus is asking for the Father to stop what he's doing and give him the highest glory and honor, how much more so does he expect me to do that? How much more does he expect you to do that? For us to honor him with our hearts, to glorify him. And I, you know, I put so much glory in the things of this world. I put glory in, you know, okay, do I have the latest technology so I can do what I need to do? Do it. And I put glory in these things. And Jesus is saying, Father, give me your glory. I want you to glorify me. And you know what? I think he wants us to glorify him. I think he wants us to glory in him. So that's the first prayer request that he asks. And if you're born again, if you have the Holy Spirit, you can do that. The second prayer request is this. Now, he's going to pray for the church. And by the church, I don't just mean not only the current, not only the church that's gonna immediately, you know, of his day, the 12 and, you know, or the apostles and so forth, but he says in verse 20 that neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So he's praying through the entire church age for everyone, for those who believe through on their word, from their word, from their word, from their word, and further all the way to you have you and I and beyond. He's praying for us. And what does he pray for? He prays a couple of things, but what is the first thing in John 17 that he prays for? It's for us to be one. For us to be one. And this is so important to Jesus that he actually asked it four times. He requests this four times in his prayer to the Father in John 17. In verse 11, he says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." Verse 21, he says that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I've given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. That's verse 22. Verse 23, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect and one, that the world may know that you sent me, and has loved, and have loved me, and have loved them. Or rather, has loved them, and has loved me. Unity. That is in Jesus' heart now. That was in Jesus' heart when he prayed in the garden. This is what Jesus desires from us, to be one. Just had an amazing time at a community outreach to our church, Risen Hope, where we were talking about the racial tension and racial ties and just how it's impacting people. And it's so important for us to be having these conversations where it's easy to not think about other people's experience inside the church. And what is it like to be a person of color? What is it like to be Asian, Indian, whatever it may be? What is it like in this climate, in this country, with all the things that are going on? That is an attempt for us to be one. When we go and we fellowship and connect with people, when we say, you know what, you have a different theological bent towards something that's non-essential, but I still want to get to know you and connect with you and talk with you, that we can still be brother and sister despite differences, whether they be ethnic, racial, or even just theological. Granted, they're not changing the doctrine of salvation, right? And so I see the Lord really, I mean, you see that attack now that there's so much division inside the church. From just the denominations and how easily it's just, if somebody doesn't agree with every single point that we have, we can't fellowship with them. Oh, this person's solid. But they believe this about the church, or they believe this about end times, or they believe this about whatever. And Jesus is saying, you know what? I want you to be serious about connecting with other people and being one. So that really ministers to me. His third prayer request, and this is a request for the church, is that we would have his joy. Verse 13, and now come I to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Jesus wants his joy to be implanted inside of your chest. He wants you to have his joy. It reminds me of John 15, 11, where he says, these things I've spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be okay. No, that your joy might be full. The joy of Jesus Christ. The joy of knowing that we have a shepherd that is guiding our lives, that loves us, that saved us from eternity and torment and hell, that came down and bled for us and cried for us and sweat for us, that he is going to be with us forever, that we have eternity with him, with knowing his joy and knowing his peace and love more and more for ages to come. Joy, the joy of Christ. He talks about in Matthew 13, somebody who finds a pearl of great value and goes back and sells everything else for that pearl. And that is what Jesus Christ is to us. He is the joy of our lives. And I see him saying, I want to be the joy of your life, Michael. I want to be the joy of your life. To anyone who's listening, and that's a good question, is Jesus the joy of your life? Do you have the joy of Christ inside of your heart? The fourth prayer request that Jesus has is that we would be protected from evil. I pray not that thou should takest them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil. You know, Jesus, it's funny, Jesus doesn't even pray for the world. He even says, I don't pray for the world. He's praying for us. I mean, he loves us so much. I mean, if there's anything I believe the gospel would want, the writers would want us to know, the New Testament writers would want us to know, is that Jesus loves us so much. He's thinking about us before we're even born. But he says, I want you to be protected from evil. And, you know, we need to really be cautious about evil in our lives and about choosing evil and about playing games with evil, about being lukewarm about fighting against evil. I believe that Jesus wants us to really guard our hearts against evil. We need to make sure that we're alerting ourselves to evil thoughts and evil things that we say, confessing it, asking for forgiveness. That's a regular thing that I believe that we ought to be doing. Moving on. The fifth thing that I believe is near and dear to Jesus' heart, that is a request that he had to the Father, was that we will be made holy, that we will be made holy, that we be washed through God's word. In verse 2, in verse 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. And you know, it's important. The word of God, we need to be getting that in our brains regularly. And I can so struggle with this. I mean, you know, the busyness of the day and being a father and a husband and a full-time employee and so forth. The word of God needs to regularly be in us. How can we discern where our hearts are if we're not looking at the true mirror, if we're not looking at truth in of itself? We need to be gazing at the truth, ingesting it, meditating on it, and growing and imitating Jesus Christ. And the word of God does that. The word of God points out our sin. It's like a two-edged sword. It points right down inside our heart, says in Hebrews 4. And it shows us what we look like. We've got to be reading the word. If we're not reading the word, if we're not rehearsing the word in our hearts, guess what? That slows and dulls our sanctification process. Because how are we really seeing the standard that God has if we're not reviewing it and rehearsing it ourselves? So that really ministers to me, and I believe that this is still important to Jesus Christ, that we would get in the word, get our Bibles open as often as we can, and really meditate on God's truth about how we ought to live our lives. The sixth would be that the church would be with Jesus Christ. He prays that the church would be with him. And John 17:24, it says, Father, I would like also that whom you have given me be with me where I am. Oh, that's so sweet. That blesses my heart, that Jesus is saying, I can't wait until you die. So it's like he's saying, I cannot wait to be with you. John 14, he says, don't be troubled. You know, don't be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. He says, I have a place I've prepared for you. And I wouldn't have told you this. I would not have said that if it wasn't true. I'm coming back for you. And that's a message for me. That's a message for everyone listening. Jesus is coming back for you. Whether through death in your life or through his just return to the earth, he's coming back for you. He loves you. And he can't wait. That's his prayer request. Father, I just want them to be where I'm at. I just want them to be with me. You ever just have your kids and you miss them? Maybe you go on a little mini vacation for a day or two, leave them with, you know, your parents or their grandparents or whoever it may be, and you just miss them. You just want them to be with you. Jesus wants you and I to be with him. Don't lose heart with all these issues that are going on in your life and weighing you down. Jesus loves you and he's waiting for you. And he is looking forward to spending eternity with you. That's what salvation is. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe, let me continue on. The seventh prayer request that Jesus has is that we would behold his glory. And in verse 24, he says that I want them that they would be where I am. He says, but that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. And I think that, you know, when I was meditating on this, I was like, you know, they're connected clearly, that he wants us to be with him in heaven so we can see his glory. But I think they're separate too, in the sense that Jesus wants us to be with him so we can see his glory. But I believe Jesus wants us to see his glory right now. He wants us to look for his glory right now. And you know what? The glory of God, is it not in his goodness? When Moses in Exodus was asking to see God, say, show me yourself, God. He says, no, I'll let you see my backside. But you know what? What did God choose to show him? He could have showed Moses anything he wanted to, but he showed him his mercy and his goodness. I believe the glory of God, the glory of Jesus Christ, oh man, it comes out so much in his love. And it's imperative. Jesus wants you to see his glory. We have to seek him. We can't be casual about our Christian faith. We've got to get in the word. He says, I want you to be sanctified by my truth. He wants us to see his glory. We have to pursue him. It starts with the cross. He loves us, rehearsing the cross and his resurrection. He took all of your sins. Every day we're confronted with our sins. I believe that he wants us to be rehearsing how he has died for us and loves us and he's cleansed us. I believe that he wants us to seek him in his glory. And the very last thing is that his prayer request is that the Father's love for Christ would be inside of us and that Jesus would be inside of us. He says in verse 26, I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Jesus wants the same love that the Father has for Christ to be inside of us. And Jesus wants to be inside of us. And that can only, again, happen if he was to go through, and he did, of course, and get tortured, get mocked, get demeaned. The same God who made every living thing, the same God who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because he's so holy, humbled himself to that kind of treatment so that you and I could have the love of the Father inside of us, so that you and I could have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. That is the heart's desire of Jesus Christ. He wants God's love to live in us, and he wants to live in us, and he can only do that if a person is born again. If you're listening to this and you're born again, you have the love of the Father in you. The same love that the Father has for Jesus Christ exists in you. You can go through the scriptures and read all the Old Testament prophecies where the Father is speaking about the joy of his upcoming servant and how he feels about him, and you can attribute that to yourself. His loving it. This is my son who I am well pleased. The Father is well pleased in you through Jesus Christ. So Jesus wants us to experience that. And that was his prayer request. So I'm just going to go through them again. It's number one, that the Father, I believe that the Father would glorify him. I believe that Jesus wants us to glorify him. Number two, that the church would be one, that it's really, really special to Jesus, that we would act as one, move as one, think as one, love one another as one. People are going to know we're the church through our love for one another. The third is going to be that we would have the joy of Christ. We would have his joy, and that he would be the joy and treasure of our heart. The fourth would be that we're protected from evil, that we would guard our hearts against evil, that we wouldn't be lukewarm about evil, our thoughts, our actions, our behaviors, and the situations around us, that we be on guard from keeping ourselves from that. Number five, that we be washed by his word, and that we would be seeking and reading his word and meditating on it. Number six is that we would be with Jesus. He's looking forward to you and I in eternity. Number seven is that we would behold and seek the glory of Jesus. And number eight, that we would experience the love of the Father and the love of the Son, the presence of the Son, the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of our lives. I believe that those are his prayer requests then, and that's his prayer request now. And I pray that we would all be blessed by that. Father, thank you so much for your word and for keeping it here, and that we would be edified in that, Lord, continually, not just today, but we eat of it later on today and tomorrow and the next day for all of eternity. And anyone who is just going through a difficult time now, God, that you would allow them to go investigate these different prayer requests on their own and what ministers to them, God. Access in your name, Jesus. Amen.